Girls being girls being girls being girls. Girls.
Hey, welcome to Red Light Conversations, where we seek truth and we tell it like it is. I'm your host, Angelica Joyce.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
It's so beautiful and simultaneously creeps me out all the same time.
Please enjoy our podcast.
I love it. Okay, so I think we're here to technically do a pop culture. I bought a new notebook today, by the way.
Love.
Also, Sarah, how are you? What is going on? What's been happening? What are you into? What are you watching? What do you want to hyperfixate on? Because...
Okay. No, you know what? Okay. Vincent Price. Let me just take a second to appreciate a new fixation that you have introduced me to.
Dr. Fibes.
He is... Phoebes. So many different things. So many different things. Even if the movie itself is a two, he's generally the chemistry that at least gives it that one star for me. Latest things I've seen him in. Theater of Blood. Vincent Price. Shakespeare. Petty Revenge. Give me, yum, yum, yum. And then the one I saw today was called Monster Club, Stone Cold Sarah 5-star. I'm not going to say anything about it other than just experience it for yourself.
Nice. It's officially October. And I love that you bring up Vincent Price because that's Dr. Fibes, which was just like, I feel like one of our... just happenstance finds.
And truly, if you don't know him from anything else and you think you don't, you do. Because if you've ever listened to Thriller by Michael Jackson,
he's the man. Voice. I think I knew that. I think you told me that.
You told me that when you were looking up his discography, but that's what stuck with me because 100% we all know him. We just don't know him. And I'm a voice vocal fixation girly. You know me. I like a nice and unique voice. Give it to me.
It's officially October, Sarah.
Spooky season.
And I mean, genre weeks again. We took a little break.
I have so many still. And I think we need to actually put our... Haunting of Bly Manor in November's listing.
Because what did we watch last year?
The Haunting of Hill House, which is the first season.
Which was pretty great.
Cinematically beautiful.
Great storytelling, because it had me captivated the whole time. You know how I am about plot.
Character development, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, because you definitely care about kind of all of the characters by the end.
100%. And you feel their perspective from each side, depending on the episode that you're on and how the director chooses to focus on particular things. So it, yeah.
Yeah.
Gets me crying every time.
Really excited about spooky season. Number one, because I just bought our tickets to go see Scream in theaters, ma'am.
I'm truly trying to think of how I want to dress for the occasion.
I feel like a combination of red, black, and white is the correct color scheme. But I think I bring up Scream to segue into that beautiful TikTok that I sent to you of Sir Stu and Billy.
Oh. the chemistry.
Which is really Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich, who are essentially flirting with each other on stage as what has been posited, Sarah, as the first two husbands of the horror genre. How do we feel?
I would like to say that we never got to say it or record it or put it out there in the world before anybody else did, but I would like to say that we have spoke about this before.
We really have. Sarah and I decided not to do a Scream coverage until Scream 7's sort of coming up. I think we'll kind of lead up with the first, like, the 6 weeks to
that'd be nice.
To Scream.
Yeah,
where, that'd be nice. Where Sarah and I cover a Scream movie a week is kind of how we have sort of discussed that in the past, which is why we can't go into a full Scream retrospective. But I know what you're saying. Because, like, I don't know that there's a lot in the horror universe where people are talking about the sexuality between Stu and Billy, because the and to be a person who brings up Buffy all the time, I literally processed today that not only is Xander in love with Buffy, but so is Willow from the very beginning of the show. I would say, because Buffy is the first person to look Willow in the face and say, you don't have to be a wallflower. And I would 100% say that Bill looked Stu in the face and said, you don't just have to be a rich boy in a rich neighborhood. You can be more than that. And then they killed a lot of people in Woodsboro. But, like, that TikTok is the bomb, because the support between the two of that fan wearing the Billy shirt.
And it makes me feel like Skeet's in the seventh one, right? Did they put him in the casting?
They put him in five. They like de-age him with the AI processing or whatever. But he's in five, and he's technically, I think, mentioned a lot in six. I don't know how much of him, but he's on the cast list for Scream 7.
Okay, that's
what I
thought.
With Matthew Lillard.
Okay.
So
the chemistry is unmatched then.
I agree.
Unmatched.
Because the two of them are just fantastic.
They had
together.
To have been so excited to just be on screen again.
100%, because I feel like there's an uptick in them being in cons together. So, like, I'm really excited to see what's coming out of Scream 7, because, like,
I feel like Matthew's always about them cons, though. Matthew seems like the Misha, you know? The Misha Collins.
100% of the Scream cast.
Misha Collins and how he is such a little angel. He looks like such a little angel
being. A sweet baby angel man who just loves to act.
A marshmallow.
And
if you will.
You can tell that he,
in the best respects,
seems to be very appreciative of the fact that he's in such a cast, mm-hmm. and is considered to be a horror genre staple, because, mm-hmm. like, they are two fantastic gentlemen, and I've been watching them since I was like 12 years old. So it's really good to see them, like, touring together and being very positive in the sense of being inclusive of all types of people. You know?
Yeah.
Listen, though, we freaking watched a South Park episode today. Where I feel like I've been emotional since this morning, so excuse me, everyone and all, because I've already had, I'm going to be very honest, three glasses of wine.
She's been emotional since birth. Let's be real.
Since birth.
And that's why we love her.
Before birth, if we're going to really.
At conception.
God came to me and said, are you ready to go? And I said, I guess.
You weren't a little sperm cell, you were a little teardrop.
I adore that, because I think Sarah is correct. So let's talk about it. This episode premiered, first of all, September 20th of 2017, which kind of was the height of me reconciling my entire being. So season 21, episode 2, Put It Down, where, first of all, Sarah had to inform me that Tweek and Craig are in a goddamn relationship together. And speaking of husbands of horror.
And I truly feel that South Park is the only show where spoilers are welcomed or are allowed, because you had your chance to watch it chronologically.
100%, because...
So, I'm just going to tell you the shit that you're not getting context-wise.
To literally jump...
That episode,
jump,
you need that context.
To literally jump in. Tweek is worried about the political relationship between the United States and fucking... Is it North Korea? North Korea's the one that's the one that we're always worried about, right? Because South Korea is the one where we pop out friggin' Korean pop stars. So the North there, ma'am, is run by that guy that got plastic surgery to look like his dad after his dad passed away because communism. I'm just saying. And so that's where we're at. Like, that's a political climate that we've been dealing with for a long time. But the craziest part is that the episode starts with Tweek banging. You just see Sarah's face. I'm here to entertain tonight. I'm here to entertain tonight because, like, I have the love and sacrifice of Jesus Christ in my life. So I feel like I'm working through a lot. So the episode starts with Tweek banging on the piano and literally just screaming about the political climate of the world.
Why is nobody else worried?
Which, that motion and thought is literally something I've had in my body my whole life. So, because in parallel to, like, the relationship between Tweek and Craig, we have Eric and Heidi. So apparently they have broken up. And Eric has decided that he's going to call her on the phone and leave her a voicemail talking about how he wants to unalive himself, Sarah, to be in the politically correct terms of the modern times.
Heidi, I'm going to kill myself.
No, because the most sinister part of that is when, is it Stan? When Stan finds out and literally gets the voicemail and plays it in front of all of the boys with Cartman in the damn restroom as they do it, Sarah. That's as sinister as it gets.
It's Eric Cartman. You know. If you know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. So... I really don't know, because Tweek is freaking out about Korea and Craig's like, hey, honey, why don't you do something nice about it? And literally, because Tweek is freaking out constantly and is like, what are we doing? And he suggests making cupcakes. So he makes the cupcakes, Sarah, and they're sent to Korea. And the damn dictator is like, love the cupcakes, bro.
Thanks for the cupcakes.
What do you mean? I literally thought the whole time that they were potentially going to be full of poison.
Why would Tweek do that?
I don't know, because he's so worried about the political climate.
So he's gonna kill them? So he's gonna send poisonous cupcakes? Think with your head, Angelica.
I don't think I can, because I had wine. So, like, because, like, I did underline the point of the whole episode. I did tell Sarah that, like, I wasn't gonna go shot for shot, and I'm still trying to. And literally, the whole point of the episode is, thank you for letting me talk about it.
You may give you a Sarah, like, yes, 30-second rundown.
I do. I really do.
Because I feel like there's, like, two or maybe three major things that were going on here. But basically, Eric, throughout the entire episode, is threatening to kill himself.
100%.
He is trying to take attention off the fact that it is actually Distracted Driver Awareness
Week.
Day. And so PC Principal's, like, not having this bullshit suicide awareness, because now Eric's embarrassed that he got outed to the guys. Tweek's freaking out over the political state because Mr. Garrison, whom is the damn orange face, tan face president.
To be fair, the cartoon version of it is a great transformation.
Thumbs that keep on tweeting and constantly out tweet for he don't care. He's at an amusement park right now. He don't care about you guys like stirring the pot.
Yeah, because basically the president has insinuated that Tweak does not give a flying fuck about anything. 100%. And because of this, he's like brave and we should look to him as an example, which is fine, I guess. But as a person who has 100% identified with Tweak, don't look over here. Look over there. I'm just trying to figure out from second to second, minute to minute, what the fuck I'm doing. So don't look over here, which is why Tweak is always like, literally looks like he wants to pull his hair out all the time. Because my favorite part of Tweak is his shirt. He has a button missing.
Because he drinks a lot of coffee, because his family makes coffee, and so he's always so jittery that he
can't. Sarah, I get coffee every single day of my life. I am there so much that they give me a card that they give me enough stamps and I get a free coffee every couple weeks. And it is for real. I really, really reap the benefits of going to that place. Tweak and Craig have a conversation. Because there's a moment in which Tweak is freaking out about the fact that, like, why won't people just kind of, like, let me feel my feelings? And there's, like, a moment when Craig recognizes, right, like, what Tweak needs in their relationship. Because I feel like Craig keeps trying to offer problem-solving techniques when really what he just needs to do is fully engage Tweak's delusional state and let him talk about his feelings, because I feel like it's the most scene I have felt in a damn show that we've watched in the last couple weeks, because he just allows him, like, he eventually gets to the point where he walks in and he literally fully encourages the man's delusion, and once he lets it out, he's like peaceful and smiling and at the end like, hey, thank you for letting me talk about it. Because sometimes people just need you to talk and not problem solve. You know? Because, like, Tweak screams at Craig, why are you always so logical? And that I connected with so much. Because I feel like people just connect the dots and don't feel their feelings in the moment when they're experiencing something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because, I mean, as you yourself were watching the show, you're like, let me skip past this part. It's unimportant. And I said, no, you literally have to. It's the pivotal moment in the damn episode. You have to watch the whole episode. And it's the part where Eric is again trying to take the attention, again trying to overstep about the multiple children that are dying in their town, which is interesting that Tweak's not concerned over the actual dangers surrounding him. He's concerned about something in another country.
And he can't control.
Heidi talking to Eric, trying to get him to understand, which ends up giving Craig the epiphany that he needs.
And so, what's the epiphany?
What you said.
Which is basically like, instead of being so logical about a situation, sometimes you just have to feel it out. Like, you have to work through the emotion to understand what situation that you're in. And that is, like, why I like South Park, even though South Park makes me feel weird every single time I watch it. Because I feel like I learn things about myself that I wouldn't be able to process in, like, any other medium or any other show, because South Park is so straightforward about how reality actually works.
Which, I mean, and you're gonna offend people when you live in the reality, so it's really hard for other people to digest this show. But when Trey and Matt even speak about how they write the show, because Trey Parker directs every single episode.
That's amazing.
They talk about how they structure it, and it's a well, this happens, and then this happens, because this happens, because this happens. It's not, and again, I'll always bring up Family Guy because they will. It's not a, we'll just throw in a gag reel here that has absolutely nothing to do with the plot or the storyline. It's just a trigger word, so we'll throw in a gag.
Dog whistle.
It's a cheap writing.
Yeah, it's cheap writing. It's not giving the average human the benefit of the doubt of understanding what intellectually you are trying to bring to 100%. The table. And I think regardless of if, like, you understand South Park or not, or if it really rubs you the wrong way because of the almost suddenness of the characters. Like, all of a sudden, because you know me, when I am very uncomfortable, I breathe funny. So, like, when I start going, ha, 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 yeah. You know that it is fully affecting me as a human being, because it's causing me to take a breath, because it is fully hitting, and not just my, like.
That is your reaction if you were getting chased by a slasher. Yeah! You just stay there frozen.
I do fully believe that sometimes my, what is it, flight or fright or whatever the fuck it is, where you just...
Fight or flight.
Yeah, yeah.
Or freeze. That's the third one.
I would be the freeze. But then I also am fully, totally scared of the option of fighting, because I feel like I've never fought a day in my life, and if you push me far enough, I don't know what'll happen.
Yeah, I truly don't know. I truly don't know. I feel like I'm a Scooby flight.
Scooby flight?
You know, where I'm trying to run so fast that I'm, like, not going anywhere? Or in that moment, I'd be like, oh, I get it now, for those dumb bitches that always fall when they're running from, you know? I'd be like, oh, I get it. Oh.
An Alaska moment, if you want, if you will.
In Alaska. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. No, it's so strange because, like Sarah has said before, I will get so entranced by South Park, a show that legitimately makes me uncomfortable probably every 9 times out of 10 that I watch it. But sometimes it is a show where I feel so seen and heard and understood. And the creators are whom?
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Okay, well, thank you, gentlemen, for having a show that is number one, been on the air for 27 seasons?
Yeah, they have a contract for 30, and I'm really scared and probably sad in that they're probably going to be, like, done after 30.
Interesting.
So,
and I don't upsetting. Know, and I don't think that's even a funding choice. That's probably, like,
That's their decision. Like, even my boss and I, Frank, were talking about this today.
Franklin, hello.
He was like, yeah, they stated that they just wanted to be 30 and done.
Which I find interesting because their current season is focusing on Jesus Christ, and Jesus started his ministry at 30 and then fully fulfilled his ministry at 33. So just saying, that's pretty fantastic parallel. But no, Sarah, I loved the episode.
Because the third and final tie-in storyline throughout the entire thing, which is truly the looming theme over everything, is when Craig and Tweak finally have that moment that you said. We then get Tweak playing the piano again, but beautifully on stage.
And Craig singing to his piano. Craig
singing. And a choir of children coming out, yeah. talking about how, put your cell phone down, be the president and put the cell phone down. Telling the president to put his cell phone down and to stop tweeting things. It's
been a hardcore narrative for the last, like, going on what, 5 or 6 years now, because Donald Trump doesn't know how to act, which is, like, a fantastic thing. But as far as, like, the narrative of putting your phone down, how many times have you and I talked about just getting flip phones and trying to, like, pull so far back away?
Yeah.
You know? Final answer. This is a pick episode.
Love it, love it, love it.
Pick 100% of South Park. I think anything that legitimately makes me feel deeply in my soul, where I feel a little bit like a balm has gone over because somebody understands me, I'm in.
I want to say this is an episode that she put on as a random because I did pick it random. And she was like, I'll just pick a random South Park episode. I don't know why you pick the ones that you do. It's so interesting, but it makes sense at the same time. And guys, if you get a POV of me, it's basically her getting up, shooting up from her chair every time Tweak screamed. I think that was like the moment. So,
because I told Sarah in the moment that Tweak screaming is probably how internally I felt until I was like 29 years old and I'm 32. So it's only like a 4-year difference. To have a person in your life who is emotionally intelligent enough to engage your feelings, like truthfully, I have to be very truthful. The first person I encountered that allowed me to do that was Sarah, like when I met you.
Oh, wow.
Because you're probably the first woman I'd ever met who was so understanding of being still in the moment and having a safe environment to feel your feelings in. And I had never had that in my entire life, kind of really, until I met Sarah. And then on top of that, she was like, hey, you should meet this guy. And now I've been dating that guy for like literally almost a year and a half, who sort of does the exact same thing as Sarah. So as a person who felt chronically misunderstood for damn near years to, like, damn near 3 decades. Like, for this episode to hit today. Because I was telling Sarah this morning that I had a very emotional morning because I finally processed the understanding that my deep need for conversation comes from literally Jesus Christ, like, reflecting in my life. Because he came to the earth to, like, understand us as humans. So, like, it's just so specific for us to be watching this today because, of course, nothing can be normal in my life and it all has to be, like, cosmically connected to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's, like, it's so wild for us to be watching this episode of. And then, like, to have the beautiful, healthy interpretation of not only, like, human-to-human, like, processing emotion, but, like, male-to-male processing emotion as well, even though they are technically children in this show. You know, it's a very, like, adult-themed narrative, but, like, they are still they are us before we all recognize that we had issues.
Yeah, I mean, they are, like, 10 at this point.
100%. And 10 is, like, such a pivotal age for all humans. So, like, I think South Park is great because it can always bring us back to, like, our inner child and, like, help us process when we still felt, like, carefree and problem-free and didn't necessarily understand the worries and expectations of the world, if you will.
Yeah, the knowledge, if you will.
The knowledge that we all must live with after we ask for it, encounter it.
Yeah.
You know? So,
the more you know, the more problems you got.
Literally, more knowledge, more problems. So, like, but at the same time, my, like, Jesus promised me, like, trial and tribulation. So, like, for character growth and, like, for the story.
We gotta have character development in this arc.
Yeah. I think here over at Red Light Conversations, I think
Chuck just writing little new gospels.
I will never get over Chuck. Chuck.
These are your new gospels. What do you mean? These are the Winchester gospels. What do you mean? Stop it.
I'm sorry. Before I worshipped at the gospels of Jesus Christ, it was the gospels of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I will live nowhere else. Will not.
Unless we get that crossover.
Listen, though, because Buffy's coming back and Jensen's always on the podcast talking, yes, we would come back. So give me a crossover. They're both CW shows.
One episode.
Buffy literally paved the way for the brothers to be like the Buffy of brothers. And I will die on the hill that like Supernatural would not have happened without Buffy.
Once we get into the Supernatural podcast, I will say that yes, there are a lot of influences, but after reading up a lot of Eric Kripke's, like he wanted it to be a movie.
Oh, interesting.
He wanted it to be not brothers. He wanted them to be, I think, detectives or something. And they would just do, like, Monster of the Week all the time. That was his shit. That, like, season one is, like, his ideal. And then they added in the, okay, well, maybe they're brothers. Okay, well, maybe they already know about stuff. Maybe they're not getting taught hunting stuff. Maybe they grew up in it.
I can see it. I can see it.
Because season one is probably one of my heaviest rewatches, especially if, like, somebody else is around. I'll throw a season one on because it's so easy to, you're not getting any spoils.
I mean, Sarah, you know that I have literally proven the first season theory because I am a first season girly. And always have been.
I usually say I'm a second season girl, though. I feel like it's a little more developed. I get a little more.
To be fair, I am on record that Buffy season two is the literal greatest freaking episodic seasonal of television that ever was. But I'm usually a season one girly. Because remember when we started buying physical media, I literally kept all my season ones in their cases, which is the only thing that I've kept, and it makes me happy, even though I've really been watching VHSs.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Sarah. Well, I think that was a sort of fantastic pop culture.
Yeah.
And
usually a little wine, a little South Park gets the engine running.
I would... I'm embarrassed to say I think I had kind of a bit of wine tonight. But, I absolutely loved what I watched tonight. Absolutely a pick me, right?
Yeah. I can't wait for your next, was it Ick Me?
Ick Me. Pick or Ick?
Yeah, I can't wait to see what your next Ick's going to be.
Yeah.
Because I believe that I'm trying to look for your Ick episodes to see where your boundary is in comedy and laughter. Because there's some things that comedy wise, I'm like, have you seen this? And you're like, when you said you've seen Basketball already, I said, shut the fuck up. You've seen that already?
Yeah.
Because that seems so far. Matt Stone. Hey guys, I'm going to be vulgar. Matt Stone licking the dildo, I thought was going to be where you said, nope, not watching this shit.
Yeah, I think you're correct because I think there's a fine line on my boundary between what I accept and what I do not accept. And I would definitely say I've surprised you in the last year and a half. I've surprised myself sometimes with the stuff that we watch, to be fair.
Jaleesa, if you're listening, you've also surprised me very much. It's Always Sunny. Okay, girl, I see you. Okay.
And then Eminem being her favorite rapper of all things, of all people.
You are a legend.
Also, literally the only person that Sarah has kind of really said that she thinks that if you came here and stayed with me for 2 weeks, that she'd just be so happy because we would just, like, cook food together and watch TV.
Also,
and
your bean recipe was amazing. Yum, yum, yum. Thank you.
Yum, 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 yum. Yum, yum.
I don't think I did it justice. Angelica says it was pretty good.
I think it tasted like Brazilian beans, bro. So.
I have no reference. And
so you're going to have to come here and make them for her so she has a reference.
Yeah. I feel like I messed them up, so.
Also, she's into baking.
SOS 911.
You could teach her how to make pita bread because when I was living with you, that was the best thing that you were making me. And also, just like, I love you and I'm in love with you and you already knew that. So. Also, hello, Caesar, my brother-in-law. Actually, my brother-in-law, because you guys are married. You guys are going to be married one whole year.
And this turns into just like a phone call, December. Voicemail.
Actually, I did.
Please leave.
I did text her today because she totally validated a feeling that I had. So, which you know what you're, you know, the haircut, girl.
You know.
The haircut is so bad. So, anyways, places that Sarah and I frequent. We are on Letterboxd. I have 35 movies to review for Letterboxd in my movies to be rated on Letterboxd. Oh, jeez. It's a lot, girl.
Wow.
And so you can find me at Angelica, A-N-J-E-L-I-C-A dot Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E-E. And you can find Sarah
Skywalker 420.
Hell yes.
Not written down. It's not the letter. Cut it.
It is Skywalker 420, as in 420, the numbers. Now,
she had the wine.
100%, and I'm still functioning. I didn't have the wine. Which is great for me. So moving on from that, I do frequent both Instagram and TikTok still, because Instagram has the perfect, beautiful algorithm that I have curated for the last 10 fucking years. And then TikTok has all of, like, literally every subject I've ever wanted to have in my whole life. But we don't have a TikTok page. We might have a TikTok page. I think we have a TikTok page.
For all them youngins out there, Instagram is what them old people use.
Oh, yeah, because Sarah doesn't even have an Instagram. So if you're looking for me on Instagram, which is, again, angelica.joyce, J-O-Y-C-E-E-E, and then angelic.stitches, A-N-J-E-L-I-C.stitches, because I am an aspiring professional cross-stitcher. I want to make money off of it. I'm very good at it. I've been doing it for 20 years. On my Etsy page, I have Art the Clown and Ghostface right now. Two horror staples that you can just go spend a quick $10 and get yourself a beautiful cross stitch, please. So I frequent over there on Etsy. And then Instagram is Red Light Studios Presents. And then the piece de resistance, Sarah and I would like you to contact us to talk about questions, topics, anything that you want us to discuss on Red Light Conversations. Email us at redlight.conversationspod@gmail.com. It's honestly the quickest way to get a response from me, Angelica, who runs the email, because I literally check my email like 10 times a day as a compulsion. So,
and even if you want to be a guest on the show, like, we would love to figure out eventually doing that. That would be lovely.
Which we did figure out. It's just the first guest that we tried to do, for whatever reason, his laptop blocked our entire existence. So we already know how to do it. I can just send you a link. You click on the link, and then boom, bam, you get to talk to me and Sarah.
Yeah.
So contact us in those places. Honestly, I'm so excited for spooky season. Stay weird.
Stay weird. I'm Barbie. Thank you for listening to Red Light Conversations. We'll see you soon. Toodles.